We're going to receive God's tithes and our offerings later in the service. So I wanted to say thanks to Pastor Jackie for preaching last week on integrity, initiative, and failure. She did a great job. So thanks for being a part of that. And they're down with our young people. And I love to hear the excitement of what God did and the memories that are made. And so continue to pray for your kids or your grandkids to be a part. Bring them. Be an influence in their life. And speed the light. Wow. We've raised thousands of dollars in the past as a youth pastor, and it helps our missionaries on the ground with equipment and trucks and to get them where they need to go to share the gospel. And so just like the kids do BGMC, the youth do Speed the Light. So it's awesome. The word Thanksgiving is almost regulated to only a holiday in November. Instead of just giving thanks on Thanksgiving once a year, what if we showed gratitude and thankfulness every day? On the Sundays before Thanksgiving for the last couple of years, I talked about not just Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Being a follower of Jesus who lives thankful every day. Church family, what would it look like in our lives? Part one, 2 years ago, replace complaining with contentment. We are to give thanks for God the Father, to focus on God Himself, to give thanks for God's sovereignty. Guess what? God is still in control. He is still over all. We are to give thanks for God's love. He thoroughly loves you and me. We give thanks for God's many blessings. The best thing of all, He gave His Son Jesus to us. To give thanks as we joyfully submit to God in the good days and in the bad days. Thanksgiving is subtracting complaining from our hearts, and it's adding contentment. Subtracting complaining, and we're all good at that, right? If there was a complaining anonymous, we would all be there, right? It's thinking that and replacing it with contentment. Complaining only hurts and robs us of our ability to be thankful. So looking back on this year, did we replace complaining with contentment? Part two, last year, replace selfishness with serving. Jesus said to be a true leader, you must be a servant of others. See, our selfishness causes problems, thinking only of ourselves, only of our wants, because selfishness lurks beneath the surface in all of our hearts. It poisons marriages, it poisons families and relationships, it kills dreams and ideas and goals and even beliefs. Our selfishness causes problems, so we need God's help. Why? To help us serve others in humility. Jesus perfectly modeled humble servanthood for us today. And God's word declares that we are to be humble, thinking of others as better than ourselves, to look out for the interests of others, not just our own. Thanksgiving is killing selfishness in our hearts and turning around and serving others in humility. Again, looking back over this past year, did we replace selfishness with serving? Well, it's kind of hard to believe that Thanksgiving is in 4 days. I don't know about you, but did the year fly by? Okay. Thanksgiving to me has these six things that start with the letter F: family, friends, food, I was getting there, fun, football, and turkey, but I changed the letter to Furkey. Okay. And that's all happening. We have Julie's brother and family from Seattle came in last night, so we're going to go hang out with them this week and enjoy family. My favorite Christmas story, besides the birth of Jesus, is the story from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Any fans of Christmas Carol? Ebenezer Scrooge is a miserable and greedy man. I think we have a picture of him on the screen. There we are. A miserable and greedy man who lives alone, right? He's cheap. He's a stingy, tightwad, who doesn't like to spend money on things like coal to heat the office or donating to charity or helping anyone in need. His two favorite words are bah humbug. Yeah, who said it back there? That was awesome, yeah. Bah humbug. Two solicitors request a donation for the poor. And Scrooge's response is this: are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? That was his outlook on life. He was going to keep whatever was rightfully his. He was all about accumulating more and more and turning a blind eye to others. We can look at a fictitious character like Ebenezer Scrooge and think of other people who are like that. And as we look in the mirror, we don't see Scrooge in us at all, right? We don't see that. It's much easier to spot greed in someone else than in ourselves. And this time last year, I shared the story of Matthew Henry. He's a minister, he was a writer, he's a professor, he wrote some commentaries. One day he was robbed walking home. And like us, he wanted to react. He wanted to be angry. He wanted to be full of fear and be full of depression. But he remembered the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, that says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You want to know what God's will is for your life is? Is to give thanks in everything. So this is what he did. Matthew sat down and he wrote four things to be thankful for despite the life-threatening encounter with the thief. Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Third, because they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed them. See, this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 doesn't mean we give thanks to God for the problems that we go through, but we give thanks to God in spite of the problems. We rise above them. So my question this morning is, what's our relationship with thankfulness? What's our relationship with thankfulness? How do we give thanks in everything? In our marriage, in our family, in our church. What's another way to live thanks instead of just give thanks, but to live it? I titled my message this morning, "Replace Greed with Giving." Replace greed with giving. The scene opens as Jesus enters the temple and he begins to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. And he knocks over the tables of the money changers and he stops everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He's hot. He's angry. And the priests and the teachers of religious law, they start then to plan to kill Jesus. They don't like what he's doing. So while in Jerusalem, we pick up the story in Mark chapter 12. Starting with verse 41, it says this: Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." The temple treasury was in the court of women. And in this court, it was the closest that women back then could get to the sanctuary. The treasury itself had 13 trumpet-shaped boxes around the walls where worshipers deposited their freewill offerings. And these collection boxes amplified the sound of coins being dropped in. Imagine Imagine a lot of coins being dropped into a collection box. And people would hear that and stop, and they would look and to see who gave that amount. That was a lot. Wow. But the rich, as Jesus said, were very self-serving and putting on a show for everyone to see how much they were giving. And these large gifts were a drop in the bucket of their wealth, hardly a dent in their overall financial status. You see, within the Jewish legal and social system at the time, widows were not only without support financially, but also without a public voice. This nameless widow was without support and overlooked by society. The widow's coins are called lepta, and it's the smallest copper coin in use in the first century Palestine. And see, these coins were worth about 5 minutes of labor at minimum wage. But notice in the story, she puts in two coins, not keeping one for herself. See, this speaks to her generosity, giving her all compared to the rich who gave a tiny part of their vast surplus. Imagine her little coins going in. Nobody heard that. Nobody noticed. Nobody stopped and go, well, no. It was such a small amount. This widow's meager gift meant more than the larger gifts of the rich. And although nobody turned and noticed what she gave, Jesus noticed. She gave in spite of her poverty. In fact, because she gave all she had to live on, it meant she wouldn't have enough for her next meal. She wasn't looking for credit or to be seen, but to serve God. This poor widow was not consumed with greed. She gave all she had. She could have, you know, gave one and kept one, but she didn't. She put her complete trust in God. The others gave what they really didn't need. But this widow was living a greed-free life. A greed-free life. Jesus noticed her. He called his disciples over to teach them about it. And now, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about this widow who gave it all. It's right here in the book. Jesus noticed. Well, greed defined is this: a selfish and excessive desire for more of something than is needed. An insatiable desire for more of something, whether it's wealth or power or possessions, beyond what is needed. Greed, again, I think the temptation is to believe about yourself that you're not greedy, that you're not like Scrooge. So-and-so is, but not me, right? But I want you to hold up the mirror of God's word to your heart, as I've had to do this week. I know greed is often associated with money, but greed can also show up with your time. It can show up with your possessions and a lot more. How do you know if you have a greed problem? How do you know that? Because oftentimes, like me, I'm not real honest with myself at times. Let's look at the Word of God together. The answer to greed is giving, the first point. The answer to greed is giving. I think we have a slide for that. All right. See, the antidote to greed in your life is giving. The best way to kill greed is to start giving or to continue to give. Yes, with your money, but with giving possessions or giving time to others. The best way to starve greed in your life is to not let it control you and begin to give. Proverbs 21:26, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. You see, we'd all admit that greed has played a major role in our world's demise, right? From the beginning to today, greed has done incomprehensible damage in our world. Greed will always be a part of our world, but it doesn't have to be a part of your world and my world. The godly love to give. We all enjoy a good old-fashioned merry-go-round, going up and down, round and round to music, you know, trying to find that special ride. But at some point in the merry-go-round, the ride ends and we get off. We get off. But greed can become a vicious circle, right? A never-ending merry-go-round. I want more. I need more. I get more. I want even more. I acquire more. I want even more. I buy more, and so on. Round and round and round and round we go. And instead of getting off of the merry-go-round of greed, you might be convinced that you're okay. And greed, it won't, and it doesn't affect you. I want you to remember this morning that it's easier to spot greed in others when you see it than in ourselves. So the answer to greed is giving. Secondly, the answer to greed is generosity. To bust up greed in your life, become a generous person. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Generosity will be rewarded. A generous person will be enriched. See, it's possible to give away and become richer. It's also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. God's word is clear. When you are generous, you will be blessed. When you bless others, when you refresh others, when you step in and meet a need, you will be refreshed. I don't know how, I don't know when, but God's word is clear. I don't know too many people who refuse to be blessed by God. How do you know if you're a generous person? How do you know if generosity is in your heart? You see, if you're not giving tithes and offerings, maybe there's a greed problem. If you're only giving once in a while, maybe there's a trust issue with God. If your hand is closed, you're unable to give to God's church and to others that are in need, you see, God can't bless you because your hand is closed. But if your hand is open and you're able to give to God's church, you're able to bless others around you that are in need, God can and will bless you because now you have something to put into from God. You can receive from the Lord. Giving, generosity, it's a matter of the heart. I read this in studying. God doesn't see things like we do. God doesn't count. He weighs. Giving out of abundance is appreciated, but it costs little. Giving out of life means that basic things may be given up in order to honor and obey God. You see, it's not the portion of the gift, but the proportion that is important. You see, the rich gave out all of their abundance, gave out of their abundance, but the widow gave all that she had. And for the rich, see, their gifts were a small contribution, but for the widow, her gift was true consecration of her whole life. This was it. Pastor Rick Warren asked a great question. Is anybody grateful for your generosity? Is anybody grateful for your generosity? The answer to greed is generosity. The third point this morning, the answer to greed is gratitude. You see, greed will kill any gratitude in your life. Become a grateful person. Jesus had some strong words to the religious people in that day. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 25, you Pharisees and teachers are show-offs, and you're in for trouble. You wash the outside of your cups and dishes while inside there is nothing but greed and selfishness. In other words, you look good on the outside, you look all holy and great, but on the inside is greed and selfishness. You are full of greed and uncontrolled desires. You're full of greed and self-indulgence. Whoa, Jesus is cutting right to the heart of the matter. Where there is greed, there is selfishness, and there's ingratitude. Always wanting more. You see, greed pushes out gratitude. Greed pushes out thankfulness because we want more. We need more. We're not happy. We need more. Again, Jesus had some strong warning, had a strong warning against greed in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." You see, life isn't about having a lot of material possessions. Life is not made up of the things that you own. Life is not measured by how much you own. And when you don't have an abundance of possessions like others or your neighbor, whoever, greed and ingratitude begins to set into our hearts. I read a poem titled, "Be Thankful." Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be? What would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary because it means you've made a difference. You see, it's easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they can become your blessings. You see, gratitude are all choices to make. The answer to greed is gratitude. So thanksgiving. You've never heard of that word. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. To do that, the Holy Spirit challenges us to be a thanks-living person every day, in every situation, in every circumstance, and not just a person who gives thanks occasionally or at the dinner table on Thanksgiving Day. That's a great time to do that, of course, but God's Word says every day, in everything, give thanks. Replace greed with giving. You see, greed is, again, easier to spot in others than it is in ourselves. And that's when we got to look in the mirror. But I love that Jesus noticed the widow's giving. All that Jesus had to do and all that he was about, he took the time to notice this widow's small amount of giving. God notices what we give, whether it's given liberally or sparingly. God notices whether it's given cheerfully or with reluctance. God is looking at our hearts, whether we do it as unto the Lord or to be seen by others. By the end of A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, he transforms into a very generous and happy man after being visited by spirits who show him the consequences of his behavior. He bought the prize turkey in the window for Bob Cratchit and his family. He raised Bob's salary. He enabled Tiny Tim to get the medical treatment that he needed. He became generous to all that he met, even to the charity for the poor. Instead of blurting out, "Bah, humbug," right? He was a changed man saying, "I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as a schoolboy. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to all the world." Something happened, right? He simply replaced greed with giving. So thanks living. What if there's a better way to live as followers of Jesus? Let's live out thankfulness every day, not just at Thanksgiving. Let's make a commitment together as a church. Together. Let's replace complaining with contentment. You see, complaining only hurts and robs us of our ability to be content. Let's replace selfishness with serving. You see, our selfishness is the problem, so we need God's help to serve others in humility. And thirdly, let's replace greed with giving. The answer to greed is giving. It's generosity, it's gratitude. And the decision, the choice, is for all of us. It's to replace that greed that lurks in our heart. Replace it with giving. Replace it with generosity and with gratitude. And a final reminder this morning, Warren Wiersbe once said this, God supplies your needs, not your greeds. God supplies your needs, not your greeds. You see, greed causes us to forget that it's all about God's. It all belongs to God anyway. Giving reminds us of that. It all belongs to God. My job, my house, my car. He gives me the ability to work. He gives me the ability to do things. It's all His. God, how can... And by giving, you're not controlled, bound by greed. So my questions this morning, does greed have an iron grip in your life where you fear giving? Your hand is closed. Does greed have a stronghold in your life preventing you from generosity? Does greed have a stranglehold in your life that's stealing gratitude? So they owe me. They owe me. Is greed or a willingness to give in your heart? Is greed or generosity in your heart? Is greed or gratitude growing in your heart? Do I trust God with His tithes? Do I trust God with my offerings? Am I a generous, am I a giving person? Am I a person of gratitude? Again, what would our marriages and our families and our friendships and our community and our church, our world look like if we replaced our complaining with contentment? Everybody complains, but we're going to be content. What would our world look like if we replaced selfishness with serving? Everybody's selfish. I'm going to choose to serve. What would our world look like replacing our greed with giving? What if we truly lived out thanksgiving every day? And again, I need this. I need to walk this and to be thankful and to be content and to serve and to give. Let's pray.